Hey folks, it's Bob from Retronauts, and I'm here to let you know that Jeremy and I will once again be at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo this year in Portland, Oregon. It's happening this Sunday, October 19th to 21st, and on the 21st, that's a Sunday, at 3:30, we'll be doing a panel on full motion video games. This will be our sixth year in a row at the show, and we really hope to see you there. And if you're a fan of Talking Simpsons, I'll also be doing two live shows with my pal Henry Gilbert in Portland that weekend. On Saturday, October 20th, we'll be doing two live shows at Kelly's Olympian in Portland, Oregon, and that'll be happening at 426 Southwest Washington Street. We'll be covering the greatest hits of the Simpsons Halloween episodes with a 2 o'clock show and a 5 o'clock show, and our 5 o'clock show will have, as a special guest, Bill Oakley, former Simpsons writer and showrunner. Tickets are going fast, so if you want to attend either of the Talking Simpsons live shows, go to tinyurl.com/TalkingSimpsonsHalloween. That's tinyurl.com/TalkingSimpsonsHalloween. Once again, you can see us Sunday, October 21st at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo at 3:30 p.m. And you can see Talking Simpsons live on Saturday, October 20th at 2 o'clock p.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. And again, go to tinyurl.com/TalkingSimpsonsHalloween to get tickets. That's three big live shows, and I can't wait to see you folks there in Portland. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Retronauts Micro. I am your host for this one, Bob Mackey, who is here with me today.
Here we go, Henry Gilbert.
And I promise from this point on, we will do no more Mario imitations. Aww. Each of us is allowed one because it can get very annoying. I'm doing this for the sake of our listeners. That was a good one, though, Henry. So this topic today is what I call the many voices of Mario, just something that sort of floated into my head, and I thought it would be a good episode, and you will decide at the end if it was via voting process that I have to establish.
This subject is close to my heart because new listeners may not know I am a mega Mario fanboy. At my old job, when I had a desk, I had quite a collection of Marios I had set up that really impressed people. Now they're all boxed up or have been sold on eBay. But
you still have some surfaces in your apartment. That's where we're recording this, by the way. Yes, I could see just line up Marios all along your 4K TV.
Well, I do have on that shelf down there, it's somewhat obscure, but that's where my favorite Marios are, if you see, including some classics from like 1989 Gashapon machines.
I really like the Hammer Brother plushie Mario. Yes. That's good.
Yeah. It was back when they didn't have official, as strict rules. So, like, Bron Pesto is just like, here's how we'll make it. This is what we think Mario should look
like. That's actually not a tangent, because a lot of this episode is dealing with what other companies do with Nintendo's characters when they still let that happen. Now Nintendo's like, these are our characters. Mm-hmm. We treat them with so much respect, Universal. You can have them, but we will be watching you like hawks.
A hawk. Yeah. Yeah, no. It. I was reminded of when they announced the Mario plus Rabbids game, which was so much better than I thought it would ever be. It's XCOM with Mario in it. It's great.
It's surprisingly difficult for being XCOM for babbies.
Yeah, but when they talked about the when they announced it, they said that what really impressed Nintendo was when Ubisoft showed the demo to them. They got Mario and all the other character designs down to a T, and Nintendo was like, wait, how did you must have just taken something from one of our games, right? They're like, no, we designed it. Because Nintendo has such strict, specific guidelines on how any Mushroom Kingdom character looks.
I still hate the Rabbids. I say go back to Europe. But it was a good game. I still need to play through all of it. But yeah, Henry, you're also on this podcast because we do two animation podcasts.
Yes.
We often do more than that, but right now we're doing Talking Simpsons, of course, and What a Cartoon. And What a Cartoon is our weekly look at a different episode of a different cartoon every week. And a lot of these voices of Mario we're going to look at are from cartoons and other animated things. So the first one I want to talk about is from the series I was far too young to watch. It was called Saturday Supercade. It was a CBS series with a lot of different segments based on popular arcade games of the time. Have you ever seen this, Henry?
It aired before I was born, and also I think due to some, or right when I was born, and I think due to some like legal mumbo jumbo with it. It was one of those cartoons that didn't get re-aired 8 million times when we were kids. Like, it wasn't aired a ton of times like later Mario cartoons would be. So I never got to see it. It wasn't until I was a professional and doing research for things that I ever looked up the terrible VHS recordings of Super K that you'll find on YouTube.
That is true. Actually, I don't think I knew about it until maybe like the early days of the internet, but definitely Retronauts, because people like Jeremy and Scott Sharkey were old enough to have seen this. I was like two, and my mom probably sat me down in front of it, but I don't remember any of this.
It was indoctrinating you in other ways.
And it's also surprising. I mean, I'm sure all of it is available somewhere, but it's not as easy as a quick Google search to find these episodes, especially the Mario stuff. So I want to talk about this series, a two-season series on CBS Saturday mornings, and Mario is played by Peter Cullen, and I'll tell you what.
Whoa.
So we'll hear a clip from the Donkey Kong segments, one of them. And Peter Cullen is great, by the way. He's fantastically talented, but he's not really doing a voice. In cartoons of this era, you were very much doing a voice. It wasn't like you were the main character on regular show or whatever, just speaking in your speaking voice. Everyone was doing a crazy voice.
Well, because you usually cast in roles like a specific snork or a specific smurf, or you were told like, yeah, it's cartoon voice. I recall the guy who did Brainy Smurf. He joked about how everybody else on the show did eight voices, and he was only Brainy Smurf because he was just like an entertainment lawyer who was just hired for that one voice.
Boy, I think they were making fun of him by making him Brainy Smurf.
Yeah, maybe.
He could be the know-it-all asshole on this show. But yes, Peter Cullen, of course, all of you 80s kids and possibly 2000s kids know him as Optimus Prime. He played him in the new awful movies and also the old, probably still awful cartoons, but they were anime, so we give him a pass, right?
Yes, yeah. No, for a time, Peter Cullen was one of my favorite. Optimus Prime is my favorite Transformer, so I have a lot of respect for old Peter Cullen still with us.
He is, and I think he's like in his early 70s, but he is the quote-unquote new Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh, and by new I mean from the last 35 years.
Yeah, well, now in the recent Christopher Robin film, he was replaced by Brad Garrett.
Boo, come on, man, that
Look,
sucks.
Look, they're planning for the future. They can't,
I guess so.
You know.
But Brad Garrett is also a voice actor. That feels rude to me.
They should have gone with a younger honestly, he's a voice actor in his probably early 50s or late 40s. So if they should have cast a guy in his late 20s to be Eeyore.
They should have cast Stephen Wright.
Well, that's also the age problem.
That
there,
is true.
Too.
That is true. So some of his main roles, of course, like I said, Optimus Prime, Eeyore, and Monterey Jack from Rescue Rangers. But if you check out his IMDb, he has done everything. Not a lot of like huge main characters outside of the ones I mentioned, but he is just a legend. He's a go-to guy like your Frank Welkers of the world or your Rob Paulsons. He's been doing it for a long, long time. And I'm sure he was on G.I. Joe, too.
Yeah, I would bet he did a one-off voice. In video game land, I also know that he, on the Pac-Man animated series covered in previous podcasts of Retronauts,
yuck.
he did Pac-Cat, I believe.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. What a memorable character that was. But I want to go over some of the segments, or all of the segments, rather, from the Saturday Super K to tell you what they were, in case you don't know, and then we'll wrap up this segment with Donkey Kong. So, Frogger. So a lot of these,
I've seen that one. That's the worst.
I mean, arcade characters of this era and arcade games of this era did not have a lot of story to them. Mm-hmm. The story, if it existed, would be three sentences on the arcade screen, like on the overlay over the monitor. So Frogger is an ace reporter for some reason, and that all of his stories don't really involve crossing the street. It's more about getting scoops. We'll see. So Happy Days wrapped up around this time. It was a very popular sitcom from the 50s, and we'll see a lot of Happy Days rubbing off on cartoons of the 80s. So Q-Bert is basically Happy Days, but with the Q-Bertiverse, which was the style at the time, as I said. This also happened in Donkey Kong Jr. So in the Donkey Kong Jr. cartoon segments, he teamed up with a greaser named Bones find his dad. So
that at least in the case of DK and DK Jr., they had an actual story to start from because Miyamoto wanted to have some sort of story. Meanwhile, like Pac-Man, Q-Bert, Frogger, like they have nothing. They have no story. And they also don't even wear clothes.
That is true. It is. I think they gave Qbert like shorts or a jacket or something. Frogger definitely has a jacket.
Yeah, it's so weird. I just remember in research for something, I watched the Qbert episode where it's a surf competition, basically. Yes, yeah, it's that
sounds
bad.
Disgusting. So Pitfall is Pitfall. I mean, they just do the Pitfall things, which is fine. It's just like rip off Indiana Jones.
Yeah, easy peasy.
Space Ace is just Space Ace, although I couldn't find any of the clips from Space Ace, but I guess it was kind of a rude awakening to go from Don Bluth animation to Ruby Spears animation.
Oh, God.
I mean, because Don Bluth made like 20 minutes of fantastic animation for those full motion video games, but that's all he made. So he could put as much work into them as possible.
And meanwhile, Ruby Spears was sub Hanna-Barbera animation.
And I think they prided themselves on not outsourcing. One of those companies, I think it was Ruby Spears. It could have been Filmation. outsourcing to Japan is what made animation in the 80s great. By the way, so Kangaroo, who cares about Kangaroo? I don't know what the lore of Kangaroo is. I don't care.
I mean, they do that. They already have Donkey Kong. They don't need the Donkey Kong ripoff Kangaroo.
No one really cares about Kangaroo. So let's move on to the final installment, Donkey Kong. So this follows the kind of lore of Donkey Kong Jr. Actually, so Mario and Pauline are the villains who are trying to capture Donkey Kong, who escaped from the circus. And in this series, Donkey Kong is stupid, and he ends up being tricked by criminals repeatedly. And in the end of most of these episodes, Mario and Pauline have to realize he was being tricked and then team up with Donkey Kong to defeat the criminals.
Every time. That is so funny. Like, well, that's that way they can play it both ways. Like, well, Mario has just reasons for doing this, but Donkey Kong also isn't wrong either. So
it's true.
Everyone gets to say innocent.
It's the series of the most moral ambiguity.
I'm guessing there's a lot of children's cartoon crime going on here, like diamond heists and smuggling.
I'm sure it'd be like cake thieves or something like that. But so in this series, they actually got a pretty big TV star to play Donkey Kong. So I'm guessing the old men writing this show, or rather the middle-aged people writing this show, grew up watching this guy. Donkey Kong is played by Soupy Sales.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So there you have it, folks. That's a huge get for Saturday mornings. And I'm sure a lot of parents were like, that's Soupy Sales. And the kids are just like, I don't give a shit. Get away from me. It's the early 80s, man. I'm living it up.
I didn't watch all these kinescopes of Soupy Sales. I'm sorry. At least they were given. I would bet Soupy Sales was like living in the gutter at that point.
Maybe. So. He was a huge TV pioneer. I'm sure he was treated somewhat well.
A lot of those guys didn't save their money, though.
That is true. So I have a clip coming up here, and this is Peter Cullen as Mario with Pauline discussing their plan to get Donkey Kong.
Don't worry, Pauline. My pit trap never fails. What's going on here? Hey, you can't dig that here.
I was here first. Dig yours someplace else.
Why should I?
Cause my trap's better than yours. I'm putting glue in mine.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm putting feathers in mine.
Okay, so that was Mario, by the way.
Wow. So the first voice was... Those are basically the same voice.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, so Mario is competing with another hunter to capture Donkey Kong. But Mario sounds just... Compared to the other voices we'll hear later, Mario sounds just like way too young. And this guy is not even doing any sort of Brooklyn tinge to his voice or any sort of... He's just like, I'm going to get Donkey Kong.
Well, the New Yorker descriptors weren't really there for him at the time. He just was a construction man named Mario. I
wonder if that came about with Super Mario Brothers, the whole Brooklyn plumber angle.
Yeah, well, and also there's not heavy emphasis on his Italianness, which it was... It's funny that in like 4 years they would go so hard on it in the next thing, and then this one they're just like, he's just a guy. I don't know, just an American accent.
And his mustache is too long and droopy. It's just weird. He's way too skinny too in this one.
Yeah, well, Mario's character design was all over the place back then. He was squat little jump man, and then he'd just be drawn differently on all these different arcade cabinet art, which is the closest thing to official art you had then. So you either had like the kind of lanky, weirdly posed Mario that's chasing after DK on the arcade original box art, or you have the incredibly like squat, basically like spherical Mario with his whip on the cover or on the art for Donkey Kong 2.
That era of ours is my favorite. I love how Fleischer-y that looks.
Yeah, he's very cute. But this Mario isn't particularly cute. They kind of just turn him into like how the Smurfs humans were drawn, of just like, just a boring kind of human. I think, too, they just weren't that interested in Mario because this was before Donkey Kong was replaced by Mario as the true mascot of Nintendo. Like, Donkey Kong is the star here, not whoever this dumb mustachioed person is chasing after him.
And the biggest sin is his nose is fairly small, too. It's so weird. Like, Mario has a giant bulbous nose, and that's like one of his defining traits along with his mustache. Even in the Donkey Kong arcade game, he's got like a huge schnoz. In fact, the villain he's fighting in this episode looks more like Mario than Mario does. And his hat isn't even like the baseball hat. It's just this weird, I don't know. Way too floppy and weird.
It's all over the place, though.
It's unsettling.
I wonder if that was just Ruby Spears deciding what's the easiest to animate design-wise, too.
So up next is the next Mario voice in the timeline. It is from an anime. We're finally hitting anime.
Oh, no.
One of the rare Mario animes. And this is all on YouTube. There's a very high-quality subtitled rip of this movie. It is called Super Mario Brothers: The Great Mission to Rescue Princess Peach from 1986. And it's kind of bad, but it's also a huge novelty to see an interpretation of Mario this early that is way better looking than the Ruby Spears thing and many of the cartoons to come. Have you seen this anime?
I've watched bits and pieces of it. It's really interesting in that it was produced during the like 80s anime film boom that was going on then, but it was totally in the kids cartoon movies type style, but it has so many things I've seen in like a million animes based on arcade games or video games, which includes it starts with the character playing the game that stars himself.
Yes, actually, so the game, the movie starts off with Mario playing a Famicom game. It looks a lot like Mario. It's like a guy with a baseball bat, and then something like static hits the TV, and he sees Princess Peach being chased by Bowser, and she's screaming, "Help me, help me." And they jump out of his TV, and they have a confrontation, and then Bowser escapes with Peach back into the TV, and Luigi thinks Mario is crazy for telling him all of this stuff.
It's rather similar to the Mega Man anime that was made as, like, were really just tourist videos for Japan. I don't know if you've ever seen that
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah, he, like, explains how the trains work and everything, right?
Yeah. He's like, and this was what happened in the Shogun era. They expected that would be just shown to children all over the world to tell them what Japan is, but I was just buying an ADV VHS to just see Mega Man Adventures.
You didn't know you were learning.
But Luigi's all off model in this too.
I kind of like he's blue and yellow in this. I have no idea why they went for that. Luigi had established colors in the Super Mario Brothers 1 and 2 by this point.
Maybe when painting it, they're like, if he had white overalls and a green shirt, that's just like too electric coloring. And
yeah,
so,
maybe. Yeah. It's a fun off Luigi. And in this movie, Luigi's trait is that he's greedy. He wants gold. But also, there's so much weird stuff happening with the canon in this movie. Mario and Luigi run a grocery store. So after that confrontation with Bowser happens, they're working in their grocery store. Mario is daydreaming about Peach. He's in love with her. And this weird character that's not in any game, this kind of weird dog made out of spheres, leads them away to the Mushroom Kingdom. And a lot of this movie, I would say there's probably like 4 to 5 pop songs about love that just sort of act as filler. And it's like they're just marching across the landscape and there's just fun 80s J-pop song playing about falling in love.
Well, you got to sell the cassette to kids.
That is true. It's a fun bubblegum soundtrack. But
I do wonder, you know, the skeleton of this is not dissimilar to the live action film of a decade later or 8 years later. I wonder if
that's true.
In both cases, it was just Miyamoto in the first meeting or some other Nintendo person in the first meeting saying, can we have one where Mario gets called to the Mushroom Kingdom? And then they both just kind of grew out from that suggestion, but in different directions.
Yeah, in the live-action movie, it's Luigi who falls in love with Princess Daisy, and the movie is really just about Luigi. It's so odd. What a bad movie that is. So in this anime movie, Mario is played by Toru Furuya, and he also played Mario in the 3 other anime things that exist in the Mario universe. They are 3 OVAs, original video releases, that would tell a Japanese fairy tale, but with Mario characters.
Like Kintaro versus the Tengu or something?
I think so. I know Momotaro is definitely one of them. And another one is sort of like the Japanese version of Tom Thumb or Thumbelina.
Yeah. I only know those because those were also plot lines in Urusei Yatsura, one of my all-time favorite mangas / anime.
They also did that a lot in Dr. Slump, where it's like, let's just do this Japanese fairy tale with our characters. And then after learning that, you think of all the video games that reference that you never realize. Like, oh, oh, that was all Peach Boy stuff.
They can count on Japanese school children, their primary audience, to at least know these references. Mm-hmm. So it's an easy way to go. And also public domain to work in fairy tales.
No one's getting paid for that, not even Mother Goose. So Toru Furuya played some pretty big characters, and he is still voice acting today. What? So get this. He played Amuro Ray in all the Gundam crap.
Oh, my God.
Yes, he is like, that's one of the biggest characters in all of anime.
It sure is, yeah. Man. I love that. Some people like Char more. I'm more of an Amuro guy.
He's great. And he also played Yamcha in Dragon Ball.
Whoa.
Yes, and Tuxedo Mask in Sailor Moon.
Wow.
So he's played some huge characters.
Wow, that is giant.
And his Mario voice is closer to what it would eventually be, sort of like high-pitched and whiny, and not as, after this era, we'll get into the gruff American Mario voices, but this is more closer to Charles Martinet's version. So yeah.
Well, if you want Mario to be Mickey Mouse, then he should have a high voice that's friendly.
That is true, and I'm glad you pointed that out, Henry, because Mario's current voice is a lot like Mickey Mouse in that everyone can do it, but only Charles Martinet can do it right.
Yes.
It's something that everyone can imitate easily, but he has the best possible take on it.
Yeah, when I saw the most recent English trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3, which has the new Mickey voice in it, which, like, look, the old Mickey died. We get it. It can't be. But even though it is clearly just Mickey and it's right, it's not the Mickey that I grew up with for 30 years of my life, and it just sounds wrong. But there's no way around it. The guy's dead.
It's true. And I believe Wayne Allwine was the last Mickey, but he was like the third or fourth Mickey, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I would hear like 70s Mickey and stuff, I'm like, that's not Mickey. No.
It's the Mickey imposter. But yes, so here's a clip of Mario talking to a Goomba. The Goomba has the much higher pitched voice, of course. This is Japanese. And unless you speak Japanese, you won't know what they're saying, but that's fine. So yes, that's Mario, and again, much closer to the Charles Martinet one. Martinet. It's Martinet.
Yes, yeah.
I have to keep. I want to say Martinet. I don't know why.
It's the French pronunciation.
Yes, but yeah. How do you feel about that voice, Henry?
It's cute. I also like it because it's just going to come off very differently because of how 99% of anime is produced. VO is done afterwards, and especially back then. So he's reacting to the stuff that's on screen a little bit, and I think you can feel that more in the performance of like, oh, this is how you guys drew it. Okay, Mario's a little looser in here. That's how he's going to feel, like bent over talking to somebody.
Yeah, and he's like a little fun character who runs around, you know, and jumps around. I can see the voice actor thinking about like, oh yeah, he'd be like a fun little like high energy, high voice character.
Also, at the end of that movie, I believe they make up a prince for Peach
to go
with, so Mario doesn't even get the girl in the end.
And there are sexy mushroom ladies in this movie, too.
I believe some for daddy.
The non-canonical first appearance of Toadette. So, check that anime movie out. It's only an hour long. It's just fun to watch once for the sheer novelty value, but it's also just silly and, you know, campy. I enjoyed it for what it was, but I'm sure Nintendo does not want anyone to know about it and is probably actively trying to bury it.
Likely so. At least I think they have less to be ashamed of with it than some episodes of the Super Show.
Oh yeah, and that's next on the list actually. So Henry did a lot of research for this, but the Super Mario Brothers Super Show was a 1989 syndicated series starring the famous wrestler Captain Lou Albano or Albano.
Yes, Albano.
Albano as Mario and Henry. All I know is that he is possibly Cyndi Lauper's dad.
Captain Lou, he is an old school carny of the highest degree. Like, he started wrestling in the 60s, but he did not have an athletic build and wasn't the greatest wrestler, but he was a great talker. And you needed that, especially back then, because a guy who looked really good as a wrestler maybe couldn't do the interviews, which really interviews are what talk people into coming to buy tickets to see a show. So he became an evil manager of so many people, including evil Asians, evil Russians, and evil Canadians. And he was for decades Captain Lou, along with Freddie Blassie and the Grand Wizard of Wrestling. They were the top three professional wrestling managers in the WWWF, which was what WWF was beforehand.
Was his aesthetic just Hawaiian shirts or what?
Yeah, the top group that he managed was the Head Shrinkers, who were evil Samoans who basically just ate chicken and ate chicken raw and didn't speak. So they needed a island style guy backing them up. And so that's who he was. And he had a ton of gimmicks, as they would call it. Well, as in his specific calling card as a carny. And that was a shaggy face, shaggy hair with a goatee, a open shirt to show off his fat gut, and rubber bands and pins, like clothespins, through his face.
Wow.
Which, if you're a little kid, you're like, oh my God, this is such a scary guy. I want to see him and his team lose.
But then he made a turn to become this fun-loving, like boisterous actor style guy. How did that happen?
Well, so as his career was kind of winding down, and meanwhile, as the WWF is trying to transition into a global power in the 80s, Captain Lou was in the right place at the right time, and he was on a flight with Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi Lauper really enjoyed silly old wrestling like he was a part of, and she was like, you know, you have such a specific look. I need somebody to play my mean father in Girls Just Want to Have Fun, the music video, so get in it. And at the time, 1984, nothing was bigger than MTV, nothing with the kids. And so Captain Lou, through being one of the most popular music videos of that year, was introduced to tons of kids. And so Vince McMahon, knowing a good thing when he saw it, the next music video, one of the next music videos Lauper would do for Goonies Are Good Enough, is full of tons of professional wrestlers.
It was of the era of music videos, in that before the video starts, there's like 3 minutes of story without music to set up what will happen in the music video. They're like raising money for something.
Their gas station is about out of money, and
they made an 80s movie. Yes. I can't believe that.
And there's actually like a to be continued in the music video as well. It's so silly. So at the same time he was doing that, though, he was a heel, which back even in the 80s, bad guys were bad and good guys were good, and you weren't supposed to act outside of your character in public. But here he was playing the good guy in this with Cyndi Lauper. So they decided, we're going to turn him into a good guy and team him up with Cyndi Lauper. They do this whole thing that was the Rock and Wrestling Connection on MTV, where him and Cyndi Lauper are presented with like a certificate of like, you guys did a great job. And then out comes Roddy Piper, who's like, hey, screw all of you. This music sucks. I hate you, Cyndi Lauper. And he even like threatens to attack Cyndi Lauper. Then Hulk Hogan runs out to save the day. And that sets up the first WrestleMania. So without Lou Albano,
wow, this is great,
befriending Cyndi Lauper, there would be no WrestleMania.
This is amazing. Yes. So Captain Lou, I got to say, this cartoon is awful. And we've talked about it on this show before. What makes it bad is, of course, it's made by Deke, and they have done a lot of bad stuff, and they have a bad reputation. But what they did is sort of similar to what those Japanese OVAs did, in that they're taking public domain stories and retelling them with Mario characters.
Yeah, very poorly. Well, yeah. And for Lou, after the first WrestleMania, he realized he had an in Hollywood, and so he's like, you know what, I'm just going to be an actor. And so he started applying for jobs, and around the time of the Super Mario getting huge, he shaves off his goatee to play Mario, which you never shave off your gimmick. It was him completely giving up wrestling and just going like, fuck it, no more wrestling for me.
And his version of Mario is the most realistic, as if Mario was a real guy, he would look like Captain Lou. And it's very well observed that the Canadian actor, who also does a great job, Danny Wells, by the way, both these guys are dead, RIP, they did a great job, but Danny Wells is like a skinny beanpole, and Mario is more of a chunky guy, and I don't know if that was the official official Nintendo canon. Of course it was, yeah, because of Doki Doki Panic, Super Mario 2. Luigi was canonically defined as being skinnier, but they did follow that lore. And I have to say, I'm going to play a clip from the live-action segment. So, in case you've never seen the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, it was sort of framed in the way like an old-timey kids cartoon show would be, in that there are live-action hosts that sort of throw to a cartoon, but sometimes there will be a story told within those bumpers. Mm-hmm. And that was the most entertaining part of this show for me, even now. Like, I was digging into these and watching them, and they're goofy and silly and stupid, but Mario and Luigi, Lou Albano and Danny Wells, are having a lot of fun. There is no shame on their faces with all of the goofy stuff they're doing. In fact, in this episode, they have to dress in drag and seduce a football player at the end, a real football player who's also dead now.
Wait, this is all happening at their regular like plumbing set? That's,
yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, by the way, there's only one set. So in this episode, they get a phone call from their cousins, Marietta and Luigini or something like that. Uh-huh. And they found out this football player is going to come visit Mario and Luigi, and they're man hungry and they want to meet him. Mm. And in the second part of this live action show, they both show up in drag, and they're incredible as these like super broad drag characters, like touching the man's leg and pawing at him, and it's clear that Lou Albano did not shave his mustache off to play Marietta, so it just sort of bleached and plastered to his face.
That is ridiculous. I completely forgot that one. I know that happened. Because I watched all of those 800 times in a row.
Me too. I associate these with eating a lot of fish sticks, frankly.
Oh yeah,
or fish sticks
or Armor hot dogs.
Yes, I'm the kind of kid who loves Armor hot dogs. But yeah, like, the live action stuff, it's not like pie art or anything, but it's just fun to see these two actors goofing it up, having fun for the kids. And I think if you want to have a good time, watch like five of these and just think of how great Lou Albano was when he was still alive. I believe he passed in 2011.
It also brought me down when, as the reruns continued, they then replaced the Mario and Luigi live action things with just a couple of dudes in the Nintendo Fun Club or something like that.
A bunch of weird other Canadians. But here's a clip of Mario taking a phone call from his and Luigi's cousins. And you can hear how great Albano is.
Hello, Mario Brothers Plumbing. You clog him, we clear him. Hello, yes. Hey, Marianne. Marianne and Luigi.
No, hang up.
Yes, Marianne, guess what? Yeah, Lyle Zadie is coming over here. Oh. That's right, I'm serious. Yeah, we fixed his kitchen sink this morning. Yeah, that's right. So we invited him over here for lunch. Marianne. Hello?
You numbskull.
So there you have it. I love how manic his performance is. He's just like waving his hands around. Yeah, I assume with the name Albano, he's a very Italian man. So he's really Italianing it up by using his hands and just like moving around frantically. Well, that's how all Italian people act, by the way.
Well, and as a trained performer in wrestling, you act for the back of the rafters. It's something
I can
that,
see
like,
that, yeah.
When you see actors go into a wrestling ring and they have to perform like a wrestler, they don't get the level you're supposed to play on. They're like, okay, time for my regular acting. Huh, no one's reacting to this. It's like, no, you have to scream. The people in the bleachers have to be like, wow, that guy's angry.
Danny Wells is very good as Luigi. He's not as high energy, but I have to imagine he was probably playing like King Lear before this and like Canada's Shakespearean theater troupe.
No, he's great though. I think he was actually on some WWF programming too, when they did some terrible skits as well. If you'd like to see Captain Lou Albano do some terrible skits with Vince McMahon laughing his ass off on their own version of The Tonight Show, then on the WWE Network, watch Tuesday Night Titans, TNT. You'll get to see it.
I've seen a few of those, and they're so bad, but I love them. So they were playing Mario and Luigi on that talk show?
No, it was him and his Albano character with Danny Wells playing a different character.
And I got to say, to this point, before Martinet, Danny Wells is my favorite Luigi. And this is the first time they're leaning into the Italian thing. I mean, you can't help it with Lou Albano, but this cartoon is full of references to pasta, and in the live action segments they're always talking about Italian food.
I have to say, it's at least it gives them some real character, But in rewatching it as an adult, I love the Super Show more than anything as a kid. But rewatching it as an adult, I'm just like, I get it, spaghetti. I get it, linguine. It's food. It's funny.
They just had an Italian cookbook next to them when they were writing these episodes.
One, and it also, it bugged me too that it was so much more about Mario 2 than Super Mario Brothers, because I get that they gave them more things to play with,
yeah,
and more worlds and everything, but they also rarely even use like power-ups or anything, like fire flowers or stars. It was, and then some were just like, no, we're in a sumo world now, and everyone's a sumo wrestler.
They would just make up their own. They're in a rap world, and now they're all rappers.
Yes, yeah.
It was bizarre. But yes, check out those live-action segments. They're a lot of fun in a super goofy way, and it will show you just how great Lou Albano was when he was alive. Yo, you're in for a treat, so hang on to your seat. Get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers to the bridge. Hey folks, take a word of advice from your old pal Bob. It's never a good look when you untuck a long and bulky dress shirt. You may think it makes you look casual, but you end up looking like a total mess. That is why Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. That's right. A casual shirt that's not too long and not too short. It's just right. These shirts are designed so well, GQ magazine calls them perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy, and not only do they look good, they feel great. And if you're a woman wishing you can have one of these? Well, Untuck It now makes shirts for women too. Shirts for her that are casual, versatile, and designed to last. If this sounds good to you, log on to untuckit.com and check out all the new arrivals. And you can use the promo code RETRONAUTS for 20% off your entire purchase. And if you'd rather do your shopping in person, you can also visit one of Untuck It's over 25 retail locations across the country. So stop hiding your shirt with your pants and your pants with your shirt. It's disgusting. Go to untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code RETRONAUTS for 20% off savings if you're a first-time customer. That is untuckit.com and the promo code RETRONAUTS to get 20% off if you're a first-time customer. If you like Retronauts, you're going to love the Jordan Harbinger Show on Podcast One. Along with Jason DeFilippo, Jordan taps into the wisdom of the world's top performers. From intelligence operatives to legendary musicians, iconoclastic writers to visionary changemakers, to teach you the strategies and insights of the most successful people to use in your everyday life. Check out the Jordan Harbinger Show every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. Watch more than 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. Hey guys, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. You may think it makes you look casual, but more than likely, it makes you look sloppy. That's why Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. It's a casual shirt that's not too long and not too short. It's just right. Their shirts design so well, GQ calls them perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. And not only do they look good, they feel great. Ladies, you're in luck too. Untuck It makes shirt for women now. Shirts for her that are casual, versatile, and designed to last. So log on to untuckit.com and check out all the new arrivals. Use the promo code RETRONAUTS for 20% off your entire purchase. You can also visit one of Untuck It's more than 25 retail locations across the country. So stop hiding your shirt with your pants and your pants with your shirt. Go to untuckit.com, untuckit.com. It's your solution to perfecting casual. And again, use the promo code RETRONAUTS, RETRONAUTS, for 20% savings if you're a first-time customer.
Holy cannoli, kids, I'm Mario, and I'm telling you, if you're not watching the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, you're gonna turn into a Goomba. Don't be the last on your block to should be playing with pasta power. Tune in for the wildest weekday fun in the universe. Join me, Luigi, Princess Toadstool, and Toad. We're gonna kick some Koopa. Woo!
The Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Afternoons at 4 in Channel 43's Kids Land.
With Domino's week-long carry-out deal, you can carry out large three-topping pizzas and now medium three-topping handmade pan pizzas for $7.99 each. It's fantastic news.
Cut. Puns?
You mean pans? Calling all pan addicts for two layers of cheese on crispy golden crust. So grab your panty packs, because Domino's large three-topping pizzas and medium three-topping handmade pan pizzas are $7.99 each. It's pandemonium. Fantastico. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The next cartoon is called, it is the most advertorial title for a cartoon ever, The Adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3. It's like The Adventures of Product.
Yes.
The Adventures of the Product We Want You to Buy.
But I was rarely ever more excited for the premiere of a Saturday morning cartoon than this one, because the ad, like, because they took a year off between, because there was a year break between the Japanese and American release of Super Mario 3, they could plan a huge ad campaign for the launch of it, and that involved, at the same time the game was launching with tons of ads in my face, I also got this cartoon show ad and the McDonald's food. So I was just like, oh my God, Mario 3 is the ultimate thing that has ever happened. And in that one, they've changed. I definitely noticed Mario's voice was different, but I really, what I liked for the better was that they finally colored Mario's hair to be brown instead of matching black with his mustache as they did in Super Show.
This is probably my, next to Cullen, my least favorite Mario, because he does an okay job, but he's just sort of like, yeah, Luigi, let's do this. Yeah. And it's actually not even that New York-y. There's like a little tiny bit of it, but this guy actually, his name is Walker Boone. He's not really a voice actor. I was looking at his IMDb. He mainly just does TV roles.
Weird, huh?
Yeah, so I don't know how he fell into doing this.
I also feel like they just cheaped out and were like, hey, we're not paying for this celebrity Lou Albano anymore, especially if he's not on screen in live action.
Yeah, that's true. Boy, I wish they would have kept him, but you're right. He was probably too expensive.
I mean, we didn't even mention Do the Mario, his song. That is in children's of the 80s minds forever.
You can watch him getting whacked in the crotch with his own tool belt over and over again. It looks very painful. But yes, I think this cartoon is the quote-unquote best of the American cartoons, because it was pretty faithful to the games themselves, although all of the Koopa Kids have different names because they didn't know what the names would be, because they were made up by the American localization team, so people weren't talking to each other when they were making this cartoon. But, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, Deke did their best, and they knew what all the worlds were in it, so it felt very much more like my instruction manual came to life watching that show, especially in the opening credits. The digitized effect they put over it to make it look 8-bit, I really like that.
The title card would always be over footage of a world map from the game.
Yeah.
And as a kid, that was a huge novelty. Like, they're showing a game on TV for like 3 seconds. Walker Boone would also play Mario in the Super Mario World cartoon, which is, they're just like, let's just do the Flintstones, but worse.
That was so bad. That was finally when there was a Mario cartoon that was too bad for me. NBC was not my Saturday morning spot.
Well, that was their last year of having Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah. Well, they were so stuck in the past with their Saturday morning programming compared to the sexy and 90s Fox Kids. This Mario in Dino Land with Yoshi basically being Dino. No, actually not even being Dino, being the original Dino who speaks.
I forgot terrible. About that. That's gross.
Yes.
I don't like that. But here's Walker Boone talking with Luigi, and I don't know who does his voice either.
You're not taking over any land, you Bowser Koopa!
What?
My friends and turn Prince Hugo to Poodle back into Prince Hugo to Huge, or else.
Or else what, plumber?
Just let him go, and I'll come back Tuesday and tell ya.
Grab him, Koopalings!
So that was Mario talking to Koopa. I got to say, the Koopa voice was consistent across all three American cartoons, and I love it. I think it's my favorite Koopa voice. It's Harvey.
He is great.
And he just recently passed away. Harvey Atkin, I believe his name was.
Oh, that's a sad. Man, it's a real, like, death march.
This episode is a graveyard, by the way. It's haunted. But
yeah, no, that Mario is just so, like, nothing. It's just like, hey, I'm the star. I got nothing interesting.
And there's not enough of the authentic Italian that Albano brought to the role.
Yeah, and that he had lived as much of a life either. Like, you could tell, you can hear the miles of living that Lou has done.
You can hear all the booze that's traveled down his throat the cigarettes that have passed his lungs. But that's why we had great voices in cartoons back then. Now they're all dead.
Yeah. It's in the lessened cigarette consumption of people. You just don't get as many good Selma Diamond type voices anymore.
It's true. Or your Doris Grouse of the world. Okay, so speaking of inauthenticity, well, here's a question for you, Henry. What if we got a man with a strong Cockney accent to play Mario in a movie? And the answer is Bob Hoskins in the Super Mario Brothers movie, which he considers, also he's dead,
yes,
which he considers his worst role ever.
Yes, greatest shame. It was, there's been a million great stories told about how terrible that production was and what a mistake it was. One of the best is that Bob Hoskins didn't know it was based on a video game until his kid said, like, oh, you're Mario? Like,
yeah, he didn't do it for his kid, by the way.
No.
He was, obviously, he was trading in on his Roger Rabbit, you know, prestige, and like, oh, he can be in a kid's movie, and also, he is so good in Roger Rabbit. It wasn't until someone told me that I found out he was not an American. Although, if you go back, his accent in that movie is like no accent that ever existed, but it's great.
Pay five cents to ride the trolley.
Roger.
Yeah, no, he's one of the greatest actors ever. I loved him in everything. Like, for example, he actually kind of plays a evil Mario type guy in Brazil.
You're right, yeah.
As the plumber,
oh my God,
fix it guy.
Maybe that's where they got the idea. Yeah. So, I mean, in Roger Rabbit, he is just sort of the sort of straight man to Roger, but at the end when he has to do that whole slapstick routine, it is so good. I want to watch Roger Rabbit now.
Well, and so it was. That's a bankable star you cast in there, since they couldn't get Danny DeVito. But
they couldn't get Danny DeVito. But Tom Hanks wanted to do Mario. He wanted to be Mario. But this was pre-Philadelphia Tom Hanks, and they're like, "Your career's in the gutter, Tom Hanks. Get out of here.
Get out of here, bosom buddy. You'll never win anything."
And Philadelphia would come out that year, 1993. But let's hear Bob Hoskins as Mario. And again, he's sort of doing his Eddie Valiant voice.
Luigi. We got a broken dishwasher at the Riverfront Cafe. You know what that means?
Yeah.
We got Mike.
Oh, Mario. Right now, a miraculous world. This guy just found out that he was in another dimension.
The only thing miraculous I know is that we're still eating.
So that's Mario.
Hey.
You know, not bad. No. I mean, he's doing it. Also on that set, he and John Leguizamo were drunk a lot because
I did hear that. Yeah.
That's the only way to soothe their misery of being in this awful movie they knew would fail and embarrass them.
Well, then he broke his hand during the movie. They have to hide a cast on his left hand through a lot of it.
That is true. So look for that in your 4K Blu-ray.
The funniest thing to me, and posthumously for him, is that when they've interviewed John Leguizamo, who seems like a nice guy, but also rather annoying, but he seems like a good guy. I mean, his character, at least in the 90s, was a very annoying one. But so he'll do interviews for just about anything. And so I've seen him like twice do a sit down thing for fans of the Super Mario movie.
Wow.
to celebrate some anniversary. And he is having to be so nice about it. Like, oh, Bob, me and him, we were great friends. And, I'm sure he'd love to see all you guys celebrating this, and I just am thinking like, no, he doesn't want this to be remembered by anyone.
So even though John Leguizamo is a nice guy, I'm sorry, even though he's annoying, he can also be nice to Super Mario Brothers movie fans, and there are fans of this movie. Somehow, I mean, there are lots of people that have websites devoted to it. I believe online you can actually, that clip was from a cut of the movie, like redone by fans. So I'm not sure if it's better. In fact, we did a movie episode about this movie in like 2012. If you search the archives on archive.org, you can find me talking about it 6 years ago. But yeah, we talked a lot about this. But the next voice is from the cursed CDI deal where
God.
Philips was allowed to sully the good reputation of Nintendo characters. And we've all seen the I'm so hungry, I could eat an Octorok and all of that garbage from these Zelda games. But I think the Hotel Mario ones don't get enough play online in terms of being
YouTube
memes.
YouTube Poops needs to do more with it.
Yeah. I mean, they do a lot. I think the YouTube Poops, and even those are old now, but they did a lot with Hotel Mario, but I still don't see that reference as much. So Mario's voice in this one is pretty bad, but it's done by a real voice actor. I just assumed it was like a Philips employee or an employee of the company who made this game, because those Zelda voice actors don't sound like voice actors to me at all. But this guy has not done anything super notable. His name is Mark Grau. But if you look at IMDb, he has done a ton of voice acting roles in video games since 2002. So it's really weird. 1994, he does Mario and Hotel Mario. Nothing. And then 2002, he's in a ton of games even up till today. So wow. I don't know what happened in that 8 years. Maybe he needed time to heal. But let's hear
SAG-AFTRA.
Let's hear his take on Mario, and it's not good.
Nice of the princess to invite us over for a picnic, eh, Luigi? I hope she made lots of spaghetti.
Luigi, look! It's from Bowser. Dear pesky plumbers, the Koopalings and I have taken over the Mushroom Kingdom. The princess is now a permanent guest at one of my 7 Koopa hotels.
Okay, that's great. So, way too deep. Like,
hey, Luigi.
Hey, me. Well, it also feels very first takey.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm guessing they, Phillips was probably like, we paid for 2 hours of studio time. Get this done now.
But, I mean, even though Lou Albano was a big guy, his Mario voice is, like, thin and reedy and, like high, not high-pitched, but he was kind of screechy, you know, in a non-insulting way, by the way. But it's like, hey, Luigi, it's just, it's off-putting. Mario should be, like, this fun little, like, happy guy.
Yeah, well, I think most casting directors, they didn't see past the Brooklyn thing. When they see Brooklyn Plumber through the American psyche, that has a specific sound to
like,
that.
Like, oh yeah, Mario cuts off people's thumbs.
Yeah. Which, now that just feels like such an old school thing of just like, hey, I'm the plumber here. What do we do? Like, you'd never meet a plumber who sounds like that. That's not, that person, if they ever existed, hasn't existed for a long time.
It is funny. One of the few times I actually had a layover in New York or was in New York for something, I would at least hear one guy like that in the airport, like, hey, you busted my balls over here. Like, where did you come from? There are still people like you? That's awesome. So yeah, that was Mario from Hotel Mario. Now
all
we get
toasters
into
toast.
And now we get into the modern era of Mario, which started in 1995. So let's talk about Charles Martinet. Martinet. It's going to be a brain fart for me whenever I say this, but he has been the voice of Mario for 20 plus years, and he actually lives in our fine city of San Francisco, and actually we live in Berkeley, but he went to UC Berkeley.
Hell yeah!
Yes. So we can probably find him in the city if we look hard enough.
The next time I see him, I'm going to be like, I love Berkeley. What's your favorite part to Berkeley? Where'd you like to eat at when you went to UCal?
Make him answer in the voice of Waluigi and record it.
Well, I also do like that Martinet, you would think he would keep his opinions to himself on Twitter representing Mario, but like he has had some very like strong political anti-Trump tweets as well. So he's living out loud that Charles Martinet.
Nintendo can't fire him. He voices all of their characters.
It's true.
So he auditioned to play Mario at trade shows in 1990. And normally at a trade show of this era, there would be a costume character that a person would get into, like a giant Sonic or a giant Bonk. But Nintendo was ahead of the game in that they had a sort of CGI motion capture puppet that it would be a floating Mario head on a screen. And Martinet would be hiding somewhere, and he can control the character and talk to people, and there'd be a little video capture so you can see who's walking by, and you can look at footage of old trade shows and see him. And actually, I've been to E3 quite a few times, and he was there as the floating Mario head, and people would ask him where Luigi was, and he'd answer them. So yeah, it was cool to see him doing that like 20 years later.
The stories he told of that original one where they're like, hey, where's Luigi? Like, he's just off a screen making spaghetti. And I was also treated to that one year. I believe it was the last E3 I went to in 2014. Nintendo didn't do their, it was their first year not doing their traditional press conference. So instead, all the press people are there at the booth 2 hours early. And then to kill time before Reggie would come out and say, like, it's all about games. Before he did that, then a digital Mario was on one of their screens, and it was Martinet, like, off somewhere else saying, like, oh, who's there? Oh, that's a Brian Crescente. He does a good writing about me. Hey.
It is kind of weird. We'll hear a lot of this in these upcoming clips. It's kind of weird to hear Mario say more than Let's Go or Mamma Mia. When he's saying, like, full sentences and giving you his opinions about things, you're like, well, this is Mario's voice, but he doesn't really talk this much.
Yeah. Mario doesn't think this much about things.
So when auditioning for this role, Martinet was like, well, I'm going to be talking to children, and I don't want to do like the gruff plumber voice that most people do for this character. I want to do like the high-pitched voice. So that's what he went with. Nintendo liked it, and it was kind of cool that they were like, this guy is at all our trade shows. He should just be the voice of Mario. And that is what happened. So before Mario 64, where it's presumed he debuted as Mario in official video game form, he was actually in two edutainment titles as Mario.
Good lord.
Talking a lot. The first one is called Mario's Game Gallery, and this is not very edutainmentical, if you want to call it that. It is really just like a collection of, again, public domain games like Checkers, Parcheesi, Backgammon, sorry, not Parcheesi, that's way too complicated for this. It's Checkers, Go Fish, Backgammon, Dominoes, and Yacht, which is a dice game, I guess. I've never seen it before.
Playing games on your computer was quite fascinating in the mid-90s. The idea that, like, my computer could play a card game against me?
And in all of these games, you're playing against Mario, so Mario's doing a lot of talking. And here is him in the Go Fish segment. And again, this is the first time Martinet debuted in a video game as Mario.
I'm gonna go first. Do you have any Ouijis?
Huh. Isn't that great?
Wow, that's great. It's slightly lower than he normally plays him, but you definitely hear his Mario right there.
And we also have in this game Leslie Swan, who was the first voice of Peach, and she's not a voice actor. I think she was like a manager at Nintendo Treehouse, the localization department. But her Peach voice is very like, Mario, come do this. I'm captured, Mario. Yeah. It's very, very like airy and high pitched and low energy, but she is in the Go Fish game as well, and it's definitely her.
Do you have any little toddies?
Mario, go fish.
I'm a fish.
And he really plays up the the Italian, I'm a guess, I'm a fish.
Yeah, yep, yeah.
Hey, listen, there's a meme on the internet, and it's true. You can always do an Italian accent. It's never racist.
It's true.
And Prince approved from beyond the grave. So one of many dead people in this episode, by the way. Martinet, still alive. Doing okay from what I hear.
Yeah, wishing you well, Charles.
And here's a clip of Mario at a bar.
Please give me your big booze.
There you go.
Whoa!
It's, you know, the ghosts, obviously.
Oh, okay. You fooled me there.
I know. And I really like this message because it's sort of what you hear at the end of Mario 64.
I'm really enjoy playing with you.
And watching these videos, it made me think of all the latchkey kids that are just sitting with a fake version of Mario. Mario's like, I enjoy being your friend. I like hanging out with you. And it kind of makes me sad a little bit.
It's sweet, though, in a way, too, yes, that Mario accepts me.
He'll hang out with you.
Yeah.
So the other game, it sort of debuted at the same time as Mario 64, is called Mario Teaches Typing 2. The first one had no voice acting, as far as I know. But this one actually integrated the floating head stuff from the trade show.
Even so, before 64.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So they got the official capture of Martinet doing some bits for them. And they'd be little fun videos that would play before the typing segment. So you'd see him doing all of the head material, like him like pretending to be like Pong. I mean, he's had 20 years, I think, of floating head material at these trade shows. So he does a lot of those. But here's a few of them. And a few of them are like, did you clear this song? Did you get the rights to this?
No.
Let's hear one of them. I have a few of these, actually. Let's hear this one first.
Can I sing a song for you? When the moon hits your eye, like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When an eel lunges out, and he takes a bite of your snout, that's amore. Get it? Amore eel?
I say the funny.
He's kind of more like Elmo in this game.
Yes.
He's getting closer to, like you said, the last game he was a little lower register. This is sort of the higher register Mario 64 Mario.
I also love that he's an old jokester. Like there's a little bit of vaudeville in Martinet's Mario.
But he still knows all the hip references. Listen.
Oh no, I'm a fallen and I can't get up.
Oh God.
That is my impression of American advertising. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
It's cute. I mean, if you grew up in the 90s, everything referenced the Medic Alert bracelet or whatever, the Life Alert thing.
That was extra funny to me because that breaks a Nintendo rule of him recognizing a country or just like American advertising. Like Mario isn't aware of those things. He lives in the Mushroom Kingdom.
And I think I don't have any more clips, but I think I forgot to play one of the clips from the Go Fish game. And it's very cute.
I'm going to go first. Do you have any Ouijis?
I might have played that already, but I like him saying Ouijis.
Ouijis? that is the creation. I think his way of saying that is what created the Ouija meme on Twitter as well, like calling Luigi Ouija, Weegee.
And I believe that's actually represented in the Mario and Luigi RPGs, where when you switch between them, Luigi will go Mario and he'll go Ouija.
Yeah, well...
By the way, I lied. We're still doing Mario impressions throughout this episode.
Well, that in the Mario and Luigi RPGs... That's one of my favorite Martinet acting. I don't want to get too ahead of things, but that's some of my favorite of his acting because this is not even words. He doesn't say words.
Yeah, and in some ways you can view it as insensitive. It's just like, well, Italian's a bunch of garbled gibberish, but it's like, I like that it's like, it would feel wrong if these characters just spoke full sentences, so they do the gibberish version of Italian.
Or in Rabbids, a previously mentioned Rabbids crossover, Rabbids characters talk all the time, but Mario and Luigi just go like, ooh.
They just make sort of the non-word reaction noises.
Same with Peach going like, oh.
Yeah, I think there was probably some sort of contractual rule, like these characters will not speak in your game.
Yeah, though that does make me wonder, like, what about at Universal? Because they're going to need to have Mario give safety instructions about how to properly put on a seatbelt and watch after your kids.
It might be Wario doing it then. Wario talks a lot more.
Yeah.
But this is sort of the end of our episode. I have to say, though, it was fun to trace the history of the timeline of how Mario's voice changed over the passing decades. But I like what they settled on. I said on an episode of Retronauts, I think like 3 years ago, the Mario 64 episode, that when I heard Mario's voice for the first time, Mario's video game voice, I wasn't like, well, this is wrong. Well, this is a weird choice. I was like, oh, that's what he sounds like now. I don't know. How did you feel about that, Henry, when you first heard it?
I was very accepting of it. For some reason, I could compartmentalize of like, well, that was the animated series Mario voice, but... this is Mario in the game. Like, so I think it helped that, at least with my exposure to it, I'd never heard Mario in a game have any other voice than Charles Martinet. Mm. So I was very accepting of it. And it also, I think, helped that my introduction to his voice was Mario 64. So I'm just so dazzled by one of the most important video games ever that it also makes me just accept, like, well, yeah, this is Mario's voice. And I also am really impressed that Nintendo... of Japan loves him too, so that's Mario's international voice. In he's that Mario.
That is great. I mean, it helps that Mario doesn't speak a lot of English, but also Nintendo, whenever I play a new Mario game, it's like, oh, you re-recorded new wah, woo, ah.
Yeah, they
and
did.
You can't just go back to the library, I guess.
Another of my favorites, well, one of my least favorite Martinet uses was when they remade the games for Advance and Yeah, but one of my favorites, when they announced 3D World and showed off 3D World for the first time.
Oh, right.
They said how, like, they, to Japanese people, a cat goes nyan, nyan, nyan. And so then they hear Martinet, they told Martinet and the other actors, well, okay, do cat noises. And so he's like, meow, meow. And when they heard meow, Miyamoto and the directors of the game, they're just like, we love that. Meow. That's so silly. Say meow all the time. So then they would pose for things with Charles Martinet and do his meow sound.
The cat
it.
Costumes were so much fun in that game.
Yes.
It's still a good game, folks. Check it out.
The
if
greatest.
You haven't.
They got to put it on Switch since so few people played it.
I am anti put everything on Switch, but I will agree with you there. Just put all the Wii U stuff
all
on Switch.
All Wii U games should be on Switch.
All the Wii U stuff that doesn't need a second screen,
which is most of them.
Yeah, it's most of the game. So yeah, thanks for joining us, folks. Hope you had a good good time with this fun little idea I had. And to wrap up, I've been I've actually been your only host. Henry, you're just a guest on this episode. Second class citizen.
Damn.
I've been your host, Bob Mackey. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. And I'll tell you what, this entire podcast, Retronauts, is supported by Patreon. And great listeners like you give us money to do this. And it supports everything we do, from storage space to rental space to our studio. Everything we do is fan supported. We make a little on ads, but it's mostly fan support that helps us do this. And we've been doing it for almost 13 years now, so thanks a lot for helping us out. And if you want to help us out, go to patreon.com/retronauts, and for $3 a month you can get every episode a week ahead of time and ad free. I know some of you like my underwear ads, but not all of you, so you can pay money and still listen to those ads. It's completely fine.
Ads for Bob's underwear.
Yes, I will not touch your underwear, by the way, but yes, that is the ideal way to listen to Retronauts, and you'll get the advanced episodes. They'll sound better, no ads. It's the best way to do it, and you can get in on the great conversations happening on Patreon. So yes, check it out at patreon.com/retronauts. And I also do a ton of podcasts with Henry, which you probably know about, but if you don't, Henry, it's a mouthful, but we do Talking Simpsons, What a Cartoon, and we also have the Talking Simpsons Patreon. Can you tell the Retronauts listeners about all of that?
Well, at patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons, if you sign up for $5 a month, you can hear every episode of those a week ahead of time and ad-free. You could hear our upcoming episodes of Talking Simpsons, and you can hear our upcoming episodes of What a Cartoon, where we have covered such wide range of things as King of the Hill, Steven Universe, Cowboy Bebop, Batman the Animated Series, Spider-Man the Animated Series, and tons more stuff, and even G.I. Joe with Retronauts co-host Jeremy Parrish.
Yes, Jeremy has been on a few episodes of ours, including Talking Futurama.
And there's an older exclusive interview on our Patreon that I would love to send people towards, which, if you like licensed games talk and hearing how Acclaim made their trash back in the 90s, we talk with Paul Provenzano about his work on the Simpsons video games in the early 90s into mid 90s, as well as he even talks a bit about working on Alien vs. Predator and the Acclaim television show, the Power Hour, I believe it was called.
Oh, Video Power.
Video Power, yeah. That was it, yes. Yeah. So check that one out, and a ton of other cool stuff on our Patreon. If you don't want to sign up for the Patreon just yet, at least check out Talking Simpsons or What a Cartoon on wherever you listen to podcasts, and I'm H-E-N-E-R-E-Y-G on Twitter.
That's right, Henry. Doctors recommend you support both of our Patreons. It's the healthiest way to live. But yes, we'll see you on Monday with another full-length episode of Retronauts. Thanks for listening, folks.
With Domino's week-long carry-out deal, you can carry out large three-topping pizzas and now medium three-topping handmade pan pizzas for $7.99 each. It's pantastic news.
Cut. Puns?
You mean pans? Calling all pan addicts for two layers of cheese on crispy golden crust. So grab your panty packs, because Domino's large three-topping pizzas and medium three-topping handmade pan pizzas are $7.99 each. It's pandemonium. Pantastico. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The Mueller Report. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. President Trump was asked at the White House if Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report should be released next week when he will be out of town.
I guess from what I understand, that will be totally up to the Attorney General.
Maine's Susan Collins says she would vote for a congressional resolution disapproving of President Trump's emergency declaration to build a border wall, becoming the first Republican senator to publicly back it. In New York, the wounded supervisor of a police detective killed by friendly fire was among the mourners attending his funeral. Detective Brian Simonson was killed as officers started shooting at a robbery suspect last week. Commissioner James O'Neill was among the speakers today at Simonson's funeral.
It's a tremendous weight to bear, knowing that your choices will directly affect the lives of others. But cops like Brian don't shy away from it. It's the very foundation of who they are and what they do.
The robbery suspect and a man police say acted as his lookout have been charged with murder. I'm Ed Donahue.